smoke alarm technology has improved significantly over the last few years. Now the current standard is for photoelectric type alarms to be installed. They do not contain a radiation source, so they're more environmentally friendly, and they're less prone to false alarming, so they don't get disabled as much as the previous type of alarms did.
I imagine that's probably very relieving for a lot of people, because usually when you get your smoke alarms or smoke detectors and you think, okay, it's about 10 years old, I need to get rid of it, the big question comes in, well, what do I do with it? Because people are aware that there are some kind of radiation in the old ones, but they're not too sure how to actually remove them and safely get rid of them.
The old smoke alarms do contain a very small amount of radiation. One of our former fire engineers likened it that there's more radiation in a wheelbarrow full of dirt than there is in a wheelbarrow full of smoke alarms. Recently, the regulations have been changed by the South Australian EPA so that you can dispose of your old ionising smoke alarms in your wheelie bins at a rate of 2 per week.
So how do the new smoke alarms differ to the older ones?
The photoelectric smoke alarms have a small beam of light through the detection chamber, and when the smoke obscures that beam of light, then that activates the smoke alarm. So they actually detect the larger particles that occur in a normally developing fire as against an ionising type smoke alarm that detects the smaller particles, like when you do your toast or burn your roast and things like that, open the oven door.
A lot of people are used to cooking with smoke alarms, I suppose, in one way or another.
I think everybody's been guilty of that at some stage or another, yes.
So the new ones, compared to the old ones we used to put an old 9-volt battery in them, and about once a year you get the beep in the middle of the night telling you it was ready to replace. The new ones are slightly different. They can be run off mains power as well as a battery backup.
If you're installing new smoke alarms nowadays, our recommendation is that they should be 240 volt powered, because as well as the 240 volt, they have a battery backup. So if for some reason the power fails, you still have some security and safety in your home.
How many would you recommend for a house?
The legal minimum is at least one between any living and sleeping area on your paths of egress out of that house. So if you've got two separate sleeping areas, you know, parents' retreat plus the kids down the other end, you'd have two. Our recommendation, however, is to get the best level of safety is have them all in every room except for your bathrooms, laundries, toilets, etc., and have them interconnected so that if one goes off, they all go off. The reason for that is that we have a lot of older kids living at homes now. They've got a lot of electronic equipment, TVs, computers in their rooms, like to sleep with the door shut for privacy. If there's a fire in one of those rooms, the rest of the house doesn't know about it until the fire's quite well developed, and therefore everybody in that house is at risk. We had a fire at Door Park late last week where there were six people in the house. The fire started in the bedroom, but because the bedroom door was shut, no one else knew about the fire until they actually opened the door when they realised they had a fire in that room, so that compromised the time people have to escape safely from the fire. Fires also develop a lot quicker now than they used to in the 70s because of the design of the houses, the more open plan layouts, and the products used in furnishings and that. And typically in the 1970s, a fire may get to a sort of fully involved situation in about 15 minutes. That can be as little as 3, 4, 5 minutes nowadays with current designs. So another reason why you should have more smoke alarms is still to give you that early warning that you still need.
Primarily people will hear that remark and think, okay, how much is it going to cost me? Because if I've got to get an electrician in, say for an average 3-bedroom house, what would you be looking at just as a rough figure of installing these alarms?
Let's say $120 to $150 per unit, depending on whether they've already been wired up or not. But if you divide that cost over 10 years, say for the minimum number of smoke alarms you're required to have, which is say one or two, you're talking say $20 a year for 10 years, which is insignificant basically.
And again, if you match that up to the damage of what a fire would cause.
That's right. The early activation of a smoke alarm gives you the opportunity to either, if you're confident to do so, to extinguish the fire in its initial stages, which is all it should be developing to at the time, or if you're not confident, to get out and safely and call the fire service by ringing on your mobile or ringing from the next door neighbour's house.
Now, there's been a big push to replace your smoke alarms every 10 years. Does that come in with the newer models as well, or is that just for those older ionised ones?
Every sort of model, irrespective of whether it's photoelectric or ionising, or its power source, should be replaced every 10 years. They're only designed to last for 10 years in terms of their manufacturing, and they also get contaminated over time through dust, airborne contaminants, dirt, those sorts of things.
Is it possible to clean them, or is it just something you have
yes,
to replace them?
If you go to the MFS website, there's quite a lot of detail about how you can maintain your smoke alarm so it works more efficiently and will last a longer period of time. As they start to fail, they may start to beep or cause problems, even at less than 10 years, depending on the environment they're in. So you may be looking at replacing them, say, at 7 years, depending on the conditions they have to be working in.